He's got coffee. He's got coffee. He's got Jesus and coffee. It's not coffee and Jesus. It's Jesus
and coffee. Yeah.
Jesus got to come first. Yeah. Amen.
Faithful. Faithful. Every time I look at Roger, I think faithful.
Well, amen. I do too. He is faithful, loyal. But speaking of Roger, the fact that he's in the producing room means that Pastor Aaron, he's not with us this morning. So with that being said, if you want to interact, I know a lot of you interact through texting his phone. But if you want to interact with us this morning, you can text one of our phones. So if you have, if you know Miss Jeannie and you have her number, text away. Or if it's easier, you can text me 270-589-7933. That's my number this morning. You can text me, save my name, Hannah Hayes, under your phone. If you don't normally interact with me on the broadcast, go ahead and do that today. If you want to get Bible questions in, if you want to get comments in there, and we'll try to get to it the best we can. It is awesome having interaction on here because it extends the table that we're at. We're at a small table, but where there's a lot of people around it,
right?
Listening and tuned in.
And if they can't remember your number, can they just call in to Roger?
Oh, yeah. Actually, since normally Aaron's producing, so we can't take as many calls, but since Roger is in there this morning, if you need to call in and...
He shook his head.
Yeah, I can get my number wrote down for Roger if you need to know that. But again, it's 270-589-7933. All right. Well, we have some events coming up here. I'll start with the ones that we have been announcing that have not yet came about yet. So June 7th is the Feast of Pentecost at New Life Faith Church. So that will be at Pastor Kenny and Miss Renee's church. It will be Pastor Aaron will actually be going and he will be speaking. And he will be bringing a word that will encourage and uplift. And again, this is in Horse Cave, Kentucky, at New Life Faith Church. So that'll start at 6 p.m. on Saturday, June the 7th. All are welcome to that. And then also, don't forget, Bethel Ladies Meeting is coming up. Miss Karen Horton will be bringing the word. It'll be June 13th. Okay, I'm getting a call from Owensboro. So if this is someone, if this is a listener still tuned in right now calling me, I can't take the call while we're on the air. But if you call the station, then, so I don't know for sure if that call coming through was a listener, but if it is from a listener from Owensboro, you can just call 270-257-2689. But you got my number, so if this is a call from Owensboro, then you can text me. That number can go ahead and text me if you have a question, a comment, an announcement, anything like that. So just make sure that you text me. But Roger, he can answer the studio phone. So,
right.
But again, Bethel Ladies Meeting, it's going to have fellowship, refreshments, time in God's Word, all of those great things, prayer, encouragement, and worship. And again, that's Friday, June the 13th, and then it starts at 6 p.m. So that's here at Bethel on campus here. And then again, we have a lot of VBS events coming up. We have a lot of VBSs. Vacation Bible School is some of the just an amazing time of the year for kids, and not only kids, but parents too. There are so many parents who end up finding Jesus because their kids came to a VBS. So it's a very important time, and if you all would be praying for the VBS programs near you, because the Lord, it's really just an opportunity for the Lord to move. There is one of those that I need to announce. Of course, I will get the Bethel VBS will be in July, and I'll get those dates out too. And it is on Facebook, but I had one that a listener wanted us to announce, and we're going to get it on our app today. So, this is a scuba VBS, Diving into Friendship with God, and, this one is at Kingswood. So, at Kingswood Wesleyan, this will be Thursday, June the 12th. So, this one's coming up pretty soon, and then it's from 5 to 8, and, you know, any kids are welcome to that. So Thursday, June the 12th at 5, starting at 5, ends at 8. And that'll be going on Let's see. It didn't say in the beginning the days, but I know it starts June the 10th. Okay, the 10th through the 12th. So June 10th, 11th, and 12th. Mm. It'll be 5 to 8.
You know, it's something that we never forget. I don't know if you went to Vacation Bible School, I did too. And you just never forget. And I remember, how excited. Everything was so amped up, excited.
Yes,
about coming
about
into
Jesus.
About it, just being there, being with all the kids, being with the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. it was everything about it. And, making the craft to take home. I'm assuming they still do that.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal. I mean, I remember my craft being in my grandma's china cabinet for years.
Oh,
So, this is such a great opportunity because that seed germinates forever.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
It really is unforgettable for the kids.
Yeah.
And I think we would be amazed if we realized how much kids, the capacity that kids have to learn things. And they even tell you that. I mean, science shows that if you're going to learn even a language, learn it when you're a child. Because the memory capacity is just amazing.
I can see that.
It's amazing. And so God just built them that way. And so that's why it's a perfect time to get the word in them, to get scripture memory, to get these songs that are all about Jesus. And that help them, they're catchy tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Help them to remember things, remember scripture. A lot of the songs are scripture, and then, of course, here at Bethel, you just can't miss an opportunity to see Brother Todd Mingus doing the dance. So I have the honor to do that alongside him. And, of course, that's what he does when he goes to Honduras, VBS. So
we're going to give a shout out to Sue. She just had surgery.
Yes.
And I know she's probably listening.
Yes, if you're tuned in, we love
you,
Sue.
Yeah, just
we've
get
been
on,
praying
get
for you.
Recovered, get fully well, and
yes,
get
amen.
Back.
Get back. Back in the groove.
Get back in it.
We
back
do love Miss Sue. We love the Mingus crew around here.
Right.
We do.
You was talking about the songs, though. Just last week on our radio broadcast, Karen said something, and it triggered something in me, and I started singing Deep and Wide. Where'd that come from?
Hey,
Vacation Bible School.
That is a good song for kids, but it's a good song, just a good worship song.
But it's definitely all scripture.
It is.
I was thinking the other day because I have done a lot of trying to understand the Spanish language, and I can speak quite a bit, but I really have to think about it, and I really have to watch my words and all that. And they have to slow down. Because they talk too fast. I'm getting on Deanna right now. Y'all talk too fast. But anyway, I was thinking, Lord, how in the world did I ever learn all these English words? Because we have a huge language.
Yeah.
We really do. We got 5 words for one thing.
Yes.
They have 1 word for 5 things.
Yes.
And so
theirs is definitely more efficient.
Yeah. So I'm struggling to learn this language. And I think, how did I learn mine?
Yeah.
But that's what it was. I was young, and we were just accepting, and it was easy.
Yeah.
It was easy for us to remember. Yeah.
And a lot of it we're not taught. We just absorb it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not intentionally taught it. We just pick up on the things. And that's really how God made us, because, I mean, there's no way that we would be able to learn the different meanings of all these words unless we just remembered people talking with those words.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the scripture. A lot of things we may not be teaching kids directly, but they are watching. They're listening. They're absorbing, even when they don't even know they're listening. That's the crazy thing.
Right.
You'll be talking to some kids, and they're cutting up. They're goofing off. You don't even think their ears are even tuned in. But then they can repeat every single word that you just said. And so that makes you think too, to just be mindful of what we're talking about. We're an open, we are the Bible that they're reading a lot of the time, especially when they're younger and they can't actually read.
Right, but we talk, though. This is so important in your home.
Yes.
You talk about what Jesus said.
And Deuteronomy.
It
tells us to do that.
Yeah.
Talk about it when we wake up. Talk about scripture when we
And he talked, I think it was Abraham, he said, I know him. He will tell. It wasn't Abraham. Who was it? That he said, I know him. He will tell his children. He will train his children to know me. I can't remember who it was. Somebody call in and tell me. But anyway, whichever one it was, that's what God said about him. I know him. He will train his children. Amen.
Wow. Let's like, well, let's let God say that about us.
I know. I hope so. But, you know, that's, and some of what I was thinking about as I grew up, there were things said that was just not right.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, well-meaning people just said things to try to get you to do what you needed to do. Things like my grandma would say, God's going to get you for that. God's going to get you for that. Well, that perception grew up, and I always knew that God was going to get me for something, you know. But also, you know, things like God helps those who help themselves and all those off things.
Sayings that aren't scripture.
That really weren't scripture at all. So, but it impacted our lives because what they spoke that to us. So how great is it if you speak now to your children the truth?
Amen.
You know, and I probably wore my girl out, but I was always giving her a parable. You know, Jesus taught this, and, you know, we talk about him. Because they're, like you said, absorbing it. They are. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff. Well, that's the events that we have for now, and then we'll, again, get some more VBS dates out there. Bethel's will be in July, so we'll get those added to our event page. And if you all have VBS dates, we will work on making a list of those like we did last summer, and get those dates out for the kids. And usually if you play it right, you can end up getting your kids to a VBS each week if you want to. I mean,
right.
And a lot of them are different themes. I mean, mm-hmm. some of them are the same. But, I mean, I know that one's doing scuba. I know our theme here is magnified. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, Jesus is magnified and like little magnifying glass, and then the bugs, you know, like the theme is like the bugs in your backyard. You're using a magnifying glass to see them.
Y'all not going to go out and get real bugs?
Oh, I don't know. If it's up to some of the kids, they probably would. but yeah, so we will have that out there too. But that's all the events that we have this morning.
And you're right. You can probably have your child in Vacation Bible School every day of the summer. I mean, it's that widespread, and people are always doing it. And I think sometimes they do try to make it be on different dates.
Yes.
So that they can experience that all. And plus, it really helps parents out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so, yeah, so that the kids can experience each one. And I love that churches try to do that without even really always talking about it. It's like they kind of
they didn't have a staff meeting, did they?
No, but they kind of stick with the time, and God just kind of works it all out.
Right.
It's awesome. So yeah, that's our announcements for this morning. And then also, we are still in Mark, so we'll go ahead and get to our Bible study here. We're in chapter 4 still, nearing the end. And we got last time, we got past the growing seed. So that's like my heading in my King James Study Bible. And we got to, we talked about verse 29, about how the fruit is brought forth and the harvest has come. So we talked about the farmer. We talked about sleeping and rising and all of that. So now we're on to the grain of mustard seed. So verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Mm. So, of course, very familiar scripture. We all know, you know, we talk about the mustard seed. And we talk about, you know, the verse that talks about if we, you know, have the faith the size of a mustard seed. Mm. But if it tells us here that it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. So it's the smallest seed, but it, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches. So I think it is one of the biggest trees in that there are.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, you could go into so many avenues here with this. Mm-hmm. You could go into, you know, don't despise small beginnings.
Yeah, same, man.
Because
I use that a lot. I do.
Yeah, I mean, because how small it starts out, I mean, that doesn't determine how big it's going to be. The start and the size and the where your starting point is not the determiner of where you're going to be, because the Lord can take whatever he wants to and make it, mold it and make it to what he wants to.
Right.
And he is limitless. So, I mean, there's that word in there. But I think that there's a lot here. I really
I do.
I think that this could be so deep into so many different revelation of the gospel.
Yes.
And I think that is probably the center of this is the gospel.
That's where I went immediately, because we tend to take the scripture so individually.
Individual.
And I really think it is a picture of the body of Christ, because, you know, Jesus, you know, it ties in, the scriptures that tie into it are like, you know, well, I planted, Apollos watered,
yeah,
but God gave the increase. We tend to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
In church growth, if I can use that word. I hate that word, actually. But because, see, we were not supposed to be concerning ourselves with that.
Mm.
And yet, almost every church does concern themselves with that. But, you know, in the beginning there, this one referenced Acts 2:41. They were gladly received the word, were baptized, and that same day was added 3,000 souls, right? So where's the adding come from? The Bible's clear. It says that God added to the church.
Amen.
Those that were being saved. So we build our churches on so many things other than just preach the word. Just bring, because by the foolishness of preaching, God chose to save the lost.
Amen.
So when we bring, that is the mustard seed. It's not everything, but it's this, in what I'm talking about right here. The kingdom of God is like you preach the word, and God adds 5,000 people to that word.
He moves through it.
Yes.
It's like his word doesn't return void.
Mm-hmm.
The seed is his kingdom, his word.
Yes.
And so we are a vessel, but also I believe the seed is a type of a vessel that he's moving through. Mm-hmm. You know, his word, it accomplishes this and that. Whatever he needs it to accomplish, it accomplishes.
Right. So if we don't get away from that, then God does what he does with his own word.
Mm-hmm.
See, his word will stand all by itself. We don't have to have something to help it out.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And I've seen it, and especially in the time that we're in right now. If you will just lay out the bare, raw truth of God's word, just lay her out there, God, by his spirit, will start moving in the hearts of people. The next thing you know, somebody's going to say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Or somebody's going to, you know, receive him that day just based on what you gave them of him.
Amen. Because it just goes out into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. He works it and brings
the
harvest that is needed.
There was another scripture here in Acts that said the believers were added, more were added to the Lord. Multitudes of men and women. Added. See, that word added didn't mean that you didn't do anything. They were added by God himself.
Amen.
He's bringing them in. And, we know, no, Jesus said no man comes to the Father unless he draws them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we lose sight of his work and try to make it our work. But your ministry is not, your ministry is to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That is your ministry. You know, in some form or another, ever how God's geared you know, that's going to play out in a lot of different ways, but it will be, if the truth of the gospel is in there, if the truth of God's word is in it, you're going to have a result, because it's his result.
Yeah.
He's going to respond to his own word.
That's so good, actually.
Yeah.
To think about is whatever aspect that we are ministering whatever our calling is, it like the centerpiece and the reason why we're in that room or in that place is to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
Right.
And we all think that a lot of times I think we are deceived to think that it's only the job of some, only the job of a preacher.
Right.
With the title of a preacher. But really, I mean, if the gospel message is not in what we do, if that's not what we're delivering, whether we're worship leading,
exactly.
whether we're doing
come
VBS,
on,
whether we're doing Celebrate Recovery, whether we're even just anywhere, a mom, a dad in our workplace, a cashier, like as a person bringing the kingdom somewhere, mm-hmm. If what we're speaking, and it's not always copy and paste scripture.
No.
It can be included in our conversation, included, weaved into our song or whatever it is. But if that message, if it's not our message, mm-hmm. what message are we delivering?
Right. And they, you know, and you were talking about Vacation Bible School. They have such a wonderful opportunity to really speak His word into those children's lives.
Yeah.
Without going, thus saith the Lord.
He yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to have this big, I don't know, type of religious function.
Oh, yeah.
But it you can just be just as real with those kids. And, you know, and you can, in my neighborhood, this happens quite often. I don't know why. But they'll see me carting out stuff to the Remnant store, or they'll, you know, people are giving me stuff and I'm picking it up and bringing it over here, and they'll say, "You're just a good person, Jeannie." And I'll say this every time, "There's none good but God." Hey, they don't know I just quoted a scripture to them,
yeah.
You see, and that's the way we do. It's become so much a part of us that we speak as though it is, you know, our life, and it is.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't sound like a scripture. Do you see what I mean?
That reminds me. And it does, even when you say it in a way that, like, sometimes it's funny or, like, you know, it is a play on words, or it's still speaking into the atmosphere, because it reminds me, you know, what babies do. They start to say, "I good." Well, it sound, they're not really saying that, but they're saying something that sounds like,
right,
"I
right.
good." And so whenever little Ezra says that, and, you know, people are always crowding around him, looking at him, and, you know, when they're that little, they get all the attention like that. But a lot of times me and his dad will say, "There's none good but God." we'll start teaching him, even though he can't really understand right now, but we'll start saying, it's the Lord that's good.
And see, there would probably be somebody really disagree with you right here. You know that,
don't
you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, because we've talked about that. But, and I mean, we say, we're like, "Oh, yes, you're good." Because, I mean, every good thing comes from the Lord.
Exactly.
Children are good.
You're the good gift.
So, in a way, yeah. There is good. He said it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the good that we're talking about, being a good person,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just like to remind ourselves of that, because
right.
we need that reminder.
If we don't, we'll so many times they'll grow up and either be one of two things. They realize quickly they're not good, and it takes them down where He did not intend for them to be, beat down, unworthy. Jesus died so He could bring you up from that.
Yeah.
But then, or they'll go to a place of, "I'm special, I believe in myself, I'm wonderful because I've been told I'm wonderful,"
mm-hmm.
And on. And then it gets way out of balance. It's hard to bring that one back to the reality that they need Jesus. And that's all of us, you know, that's all of us. He came to save us from the far right when we think we're somebody we're not, or the far left when we think we're nothing.
Yeah.
He died so we could understand that in Him, they both work.
Amen.
But it's Him at the helm. It's Him at the beginning of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. Even as, you know, we talked about Vacation Bible School, it is just so important with kids. And we talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are we speaking? To speak the truth. So I do. I think that this is the kingdom. I think we're in agreement on that.
Right.
The gospel.
I want to give one more scripture if I can.
And then while you're getting there, my note said, "The point of this parable, God causes the gospel to bear fruit, His kingdom to grow," mm-hmm. just how He does these things, we do not fully understand. So there is an aspect to that of it doesn't seem possible, like, or not possible, but it's amazing that it's able to be done this way, that that mustard seed is able to grow to that measure. Mm-hmm. And to the same, I mean, there's things that happen within, if we really stopped and thought about, okay, how does a seed actually grow? What is happening internally?
Well, I planted some beans the other day, and I could not believe how quickly they came up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, but the ground is really good.
The ground that makes a really difference. Good. That could be
the
a word.
The sun, they are reaching for the sun.
Yeah.
They're going to, I was cleaning for a lady yesterday, and she had literally had maple trees growing out of this thing that covered her basement windows. One of those rounded things that cover your basement windows so stuff don't get on. And she said, can you get those out of there? And so I took it off and I got them out. And I said, but I couldn't kill them. She said, why? Because they're growing in between the metal and the concrete. I can't get in there. They grew right up through there. And she said, well, what's making them grow? I said, they're reaching for the sun. Someone, bird dropped something down in there, and they are trying to find the sun. It was funny, but it's, you know, it's designed for that.
Yeah.
It's going to germinate because of the sun.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a word. Well, what's your scripture?
Oh, the last one I had here. It just, there was a lot going on here in Paul with witchcraft and all that, you know, and I think you can just put in anything that goes on today. And the Bible says that so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It was able to be more substance than what the world could give.
Amen.
Amen.
We need that.
Yeah, we do. So we can't get away from bringing that. Jesus said, if you are, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In me, you'll bear much fruit. What is he talking about? He's talking about when you speak his word. If you continue in my word, see, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If they start, my word starts coming forth from the place that you live in it, he said, it'll bear much fruit. And so that's kind of the same thing what we're talking about here. When you are on good ground, when you can tell somebody what Jesus said, you are on such good ground when you can tell somebody what God the Father said. Man.
Amen.
I mean, that's, I don't know about you, but that's where my confidence comes from. I don't have any confidence in myself as a speaker. I don't have any confidence in myself to be witty or that people would want to come and listen to me. But I have confidence that what I'm about to say is what he said.
Yeah.
I have that confidence.
Amen.
Hey.
It's like you are backed up by the word. There's, you know, we say, like, you got my back. I got your back. Like, he has our back. When we're on his ground speaking his word, he has our back. It is good footing. We're not going to trip and stumble.
Right.
Like the ones that stumble in the midst of darkness. They can't even see where they're stepping.
They don't know where they're going.
Yeah. It's just such good news.
It's on good ground.
I mean, it's good
soil. You're always going to be in a good place if you can just bring what he said and did.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're already to break. We're actually a little past break. And during this break, I have a text to listen to. Somebody sent me a voice text. So I'll try to listen to that while we're on the break and then get back with it. But trivia question number one for the day, for this Tuesday, is why was Abijah certain of a victory in the battle against Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13? Why was Abijah certain of a victory in the battle against Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio. All right, we are back, and we did get an answer to that trivia question, finally. Now, you might recognize the question that was asked. It was one that never got an answer from last week. So, the question again was, why was Abijah certain of a victory in the battle against Jeroboam in 2 Chronicles 13? And that answer was the promise to David and his sons by the covenant of salt. So the covenant of salt. And that listener was Steve Huggins, Brother Steve. So congrats for getting your name in there for this week. And
what is the what are they getting, the prize?
The
What's
prize?
The prize?
I know the last one was a book package, and we haven't talked about this next one yet.
Okay.
If this is, I've gotten a little, whenever we do questions like this from the other week, sometimes I get a little bit mixed up on when the new period is. But usually, we draw on a Monday, and we weren't here yesterday. So I'm a little bit, I can't remember if we're going to draw. We'll have to look back and see. But I know that the book package was the last one, so this might be a new. We usually do, like, book package, then after the book package, do, like, some sort of gift card. So I think one of the last gift cards was Chick-fil-A. That was awesome. Now, sometimes we have things donated to us, too.
Right.
So every once in a while, we'll have something completely different. I know we had the Ark Encounter tickets one time.
Oh,
that was really
cool.
Oh,
that's pretty awesome, yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I wanted to ask you, and I guess it's okay to ask on the air.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of pictures of your brother on Facebook.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming that miracle is still continuing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's getting better and better.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I just praise the Lord for that. And, you know, there was just a lot of unknowns there for a bit, but, like, not knowing what we could say, what we couldn't say, but, like, we've just been giving God the glory. I have. It's just transformed it's really just built my faith so
right.
much. Because I had never seen, I believe in miracles. And I've heard them, and I know that God is a God of miracles, but it's like it does something else to your faith whenever you see it with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't see it till you believed it.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you
there
right
was
now,
believing first.
Your
but
faith
then when
grew
you see
because
the fruition of it,
right.
It's like, wow. You know, and so it already started growing before we saw it, but it's like when we saw it, it's like my spirit knew it. But it's like when you see it, your flesh lines up with your spirit almost. Like,
that's exactly,
you know what I mean?
Right. That's exactly
like,
right.
It's like my spirit believed first, but then like the other side of me, the natural side of me was like, amen. Like, yes,
yeah.
Lord.
And
so,
that's a real thing. Your spiritual man and your carnal man, they're both kind of wrestling around in there. You know, that's what Paul was talking about.
Yes.
And your carnal man has to catch up sometimes.
Yes, exactly.
But thank God for your new man on the inside.
Yes,
who
amen.
Says, oh, we're believing this.
Yeah, I mean, a good example of that was like as he was laying there on the ventilator, they were speaking words like, you know, this might be it, you might want to call in this one and that one, and you know, his time might just be about up. You know, when you hear those words of like death, basically, you know, it is a war between the flesh and the spirit, because the flesh wants to break down and be in shock and not know what to think. But then your spirit man rises up. That's what happened, was it just rose up and just started interceding, praying in the spirit, standing on faith, like,
mm-hmm.
and listening to the Lord, because I mean, if it was someone's time to go, you know, the Spirit would give that peace.
He would.
But when it's not, we rise up and we fight. Mm-hmm. We fight the fight of faith, and so I'm thankful though for the faith family, like the mm-hmm. family of faith that was covering,
right?
Not only him but us, and I just give him the glory because, you know, the prayers of the saints and the body of Christ brings a peace. It's like the Lord ushers in a peace that truly surpasses all understanding. And I know that it's the holding up of the arms of the body of Christ through prayer. And it's just, there's just nothing like it. If you are a believer and you've experienced that many believers praying for you, you feel it mm-hmm. and you appreciate it. And
you
so,
do. You know, I've shared this. I don't know if I've ever shared this on the radio, but my sister was dying. She had a heart attack, and she was unresponsive by the time they got to her. Well, she's on a ventilator for a couple days there, and we're all gathered around, and we're praying, and we're believing God. And you know, and of course, there's that part of you, that carnal side of you that goes, this is probably not going to go well. But then your spirit man is like, no, we're going to believe God.
Yes.
And you keep holding on. And I watched that whole cycle of how you're 1 minute you're like this, and then next minute you're back on, and people are joining in with you. People are believing God with you. But there's there was a time where they said, okay, that's it. You know, you need to call your family. You need to come on because we're going to take everything off of her. Okay. And on the way there, to the hospital for that. My other sister texted me and said, wait a minute. And she had woke up.
Wow.
Side effects. Was able to swallow immediately. You know that don't happen being on a ventilator for that many days.
Yeah.
She was able to talk. She had no idea what had happened to her. And so we went from, okay, we're going to have to accept the fact she's leaving. Even though we had great faith for a long time, but they said no. And then when we got there and she's awake, and I mean, it was crazy in there because all the family was coming, see, to mourn her death.
Yeah.
And we get there and she's sitting up in the bed talking. I was like, oh my goodness, you know. But I think about when they prayed for Peter to be released from jail.
That's true.
Everybody was pulling together and pray. And then there he is at the front door, and you're like, I can't believe it.
That's true.
Isn't that what we do, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it was such an amazing moment that it was so hard not to, they wanted us to kind of quiet down, you know.
Yeah.
But it was so hard not to erupt in his huge praise.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was, praise God. I mean, you know, my sister's gone on to be with the Lord now, but it wasn't from that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the point, is it's that the faith truly does. It moves things. Mm-hmm. It you know, faith pleases the Lord. It pleases the Lord. But we did, I'll get, so that listener that called, they were driving. So they did send an audio clip. And what Brother Robbie was saying, he was saying that the mustard seed is, even when we're down to our smallest amount of faith, like we're down to like the nitty gritty, basically, that's not what he said, but I'm just paraphrasing. We still have the mustard seed. And that is a good word because,
it is.
You know, it's like a promise that we have, is that he put the faith in us. So we have that mustard seed. Even when we reduce it down to we're on our last bit of faith, we have that mustard seed, which means too that if we are at the smallest amount of faith that we have, that faith still has potential to grow more. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's just going to stay a mustard seed, because a mustard seed never stays a mustard seed.
Right. And it was the same as, you know, we talked off mic about Jairus.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm believing, but I'm struggling, you know, and Jesus was fine with that. So, you know, maybe you're believing God and you're in a struggle with it. That's nothing wrong with that. Don't worry about that, because your heart is saying, I believe this.
Well, I guess that kind of brings up the fact that maybe some don't even acknowledge. Maybe Jairus was acknowledging what not all acknowledge. And either way, God still moves. So,
that's
like,
right.
The battle, it's exactly what we're talking about, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Jairus was recognizing and aware of that flesh and the spirit and bringing attention to it. But Jesus was like, that's okay, you know, because if the spirit is willing, then he's going to move through that faith. If the spirit is active and that faith is active, then that's what matters. The flesh can't take away what the spirit is doing.
That's exactly what was on my heart right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your spirit man is about to trump your natural man.
Amen. That's good news.
That's really good news to think that that's possible. But who are you alive to God with? Your mind? No. You're alive to God with your heart,
amen,
with the very spirit of who you are. That's how you're alive to him. So that's where our communication is. That's where our results are. And that's where we work from.
Amen.
And so there's times I have to say, Jeannie, you stop thinking like that, because this is what we're going to believe.
Yeah.
I have to tell my unrenewed mind, you're not going to have the say here. I mean, you do. You have to talk to yourself. That's what David did. When he was depressed, he was like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I know what he was doing. He said, get up from here. You're not going to do that. You know, he was making himself trust God. So that was his heart to God.
I could just see Miss Jeannie right now, like, looking at herself, like, this way and being like, line up, and then looking the other way.
I truly do. And this is Karen. You know, Karen's going to hate that she wasn't here, because this is a passionate thing for her. She really wants to talk about this soul and spirit, and because it's just really coming alive in her, you know.
Yeah.
And so I won't say too much. We'll let her have that when she comes back. But You know what I'm saying? And, you know, next week I won't be here, so she can have it. She can have her moment with that. But she'll tell you a whole lot more than I will about that. But it's true. There is a struggle inside of you, but here's the struggle. The struggle does not have the capacity to overtake. You're walking in a new life. You're walking in the, put on the new man. Well, what's the new man? Well, the new man has faith and hope in the Lord. So take authority over the rest. I mean, when I say authority, I just simply tell myself, now you're not going to think that way. Why? Because I already know God didn't say that, what I'm thinking. So, what? Yeah. And what does my heart want? I want to believe him.
Yeah, I think if we would take authority like that right away, take our thoughts captive, speak the word, we would start to see a lot of things line up. But I think we let not even just the enemy. I'm going to leave the enemy out of this one.
Right.
We let our own flesh boss us around too much.
It's a reasoning thing. I don't even know why we get off in reasoning at all. I don't. Let's reason with the Lord. What did he say? There's where your reasoning needs to go. And so, yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing that you have to stay on top of, because your mind is just doing what it does. But, you know, remember Brother Ron used to say this was one of the last messages that he gave before he went on to glory. And he said, you don't have a problem with the devil. You have a problem with your flesh.
Yeah.
We struggle with how we look. We struggle with what do they think. We struggle with, wanting our way. All these things, struggles come up out of our flesh life, not our spirit man.
Yeah.
Spiritually, you want to do exploits in his name. You want to go see the sick healed and the dead raised. Yeah, come on. It's true.
But it's the flesh that starts to bring fear and doubt and all those things. It's not always the enemy.
Right.
Because the enemy isn't everywhere.
But if we recognize it, then we can put it to bed.
Yeah.
By our spirit man.
Amen.
Amen.
And then we wouldn't be so scared of the devil all the time either if we just realize
he's just taking advantage.
Yeah. He's just manipulating the situations. But that's the real war is the flesh and the spirit.
What do our parents, I mean, parents did this, and if you were one of them, you shouldn't have. But you never seen parents or somebody, Uncle Joe, he's going to scare the kid. They're going to scare that child, you know. Once they find out that child was really scared, they pour it on. They catch them every time. Why? Because they know this is going to really scare them. That's what Satan does.
Yeah.
He takes advantage of the fact of what he saw in you, and he's like, oh, I'm going to do that again.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing is taking advantage of what he's already saw in you. So that's why Jesus said, when the prince of this world is coming, but he'll find nothing in me.
Amen.
Oh, I want to be that, don't you?
Yes.
I don't want him to find nothing in me.
You know, that makes me, well, I'll hold that thought. It's like a generational thought.
Oh, okay.
But I'll hold it. Amen. Miss Sierra said, I knew Jacob was going to be okay because of everything that I saw the Lord do in Archie. I knew God had his hand over him. And that's true. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So the word of our testimony that we have helps us to have that mindset of overcoming when something happens to somebody else.
First thing that comes to my mind is, let me tell you what happened with my sister.
Yeah, exactly. And then also she said, I think we also let doctors influence us and try to let them tell us what is going to happen, when in reality we need to listen to God and let him tell us and show us what is going to happen.
And they're just doctors are just doing their best with what they have. They are. But they don't have anything else. They can only go so far. I remember when my husband got liver cancer, and the doctor said, we're going to kill it, but it'll come back. There's no cure for this. That's what they told us. And I said, I'll tell you what, you do everything that you can do, and we'll take it from here.
That's
what I told him. And he smiled. Because he'd already knew that we were Christians and that our faith was in the Lord.
Yeah.
But when I said that, he smiled real, real big. You know, like, okay, I see where you are.
I love that. That's awesome.
And we just had our checkup this week. And he did, still no sign of it.
Amen. That's really good. And that is a good point too, Sierra, because what we were talking about, like the war between the flesh and the spirit is, you know, we want to, our flesh does want to believe a report of man over the report of the Lord a lot because it's easier. But I agree that, you know, if we would get our report from the Lord, if we believe the report of the Lord over everything else, let our spirit and the faith that we have trump the flesh in this situation to be the same thing.
Right.
But I think Miss Jeannie's statement is so good of, you know, we appreciate what doctors can do, but when it comes to sometimes the report and the words that they speak, they don't realize, to them it's just part of their job that they speak
these
things.
They have to tell you that, yeah.
Yeah, and they have to, but to us, you know, we know what's going on spiritually behind it. And so we can cancel that out, we can speak life, and we can even speak what Miss Jeannie said. We'll take it from here. We need you to do everything you can do. We appreciate your help because God does use the giftings and all that. But when it comes to the final destination, we are trusting the Lord with the final destination.
Amen. Amen. I think it's just, and there are doctors out there who will join you in your faith and believing.
And that's amazing.
Man, that's great. I want that doctor. I've heard people tell about it.
And nurses.
Yeah. That's right. They'll jump right in there and believe it. My brother was in the hospital, and his nurse would come in the room. And, of course, me and him was yakking about the Lord, you know. And she was so much into it. She was ready to be part of it.
I love that. Yeah, we need to get that on shirt, yakking about the Lord.
I have a friend who makes shirts.
What does your shirt say today?
This one? Oh, this is the Chosen.
Oh, I have only one thing to do
today.
Follow
him.
Follow him. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, like, the Chosen show?
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of that, if we don't have any more comments here, let's see. Yeah, we're good on text. So, there's a Bible question we have. And we do have a guest today also.
Oh, yeah?
I'll have to double confirm that, but we're supposed to have a guest, Brother Asher, Asher Bach. So he's been, you know, just traveling with the Lord, going to where the Spirit leads him to minister and work with churches, different youth, whoever the Lord leads him to with the, you know, evangelism and those things. And we've had him on about a year ago is when we last had him on. But I love the things that he shares on social media. Just share some good scripture and truth, wisdom on there. And so we're going to see if he might want to talk about some of those things. He shared something on family, on like a godly family, and I really liked it. So we'll see if he wants to hit on that again. It was really good, just about like biblical, you know, the order of the family and those things, like the having the order right, and it was so good.
Well, the couple you had on last week, the gal that came here and did the women's thing.
Yes.
Yeah, her and her husband.
They were good.
Oh, my goodness. I've told that story. Anybody stand still. I hope they're listening. That's right. I said, I don't even know this guy's name.
Yeah, Rigdon, Brother Rigdon.
Yeah.
So it was Barb and I think, I forget. I know their last names. Mm-hmm. I forget his. I think it's Tim.
But I told that story. I mean, I just told it and told it and told it. You know, it's so powerful. And I said on the radio, I said, I want to meet this guy. Because, you know, the strength of what he had to say, the strength of his witness, that, and both of them as far as that goes, but because she's as much a part of his witness as he was.
Amen. That's what I love about it. The unity there.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, you know, praise God for that. And so we got another one that we'll get to probably share what he has to say this next week. See, I take what they say and I go with it.
Amen.
You know, because I want to, you know, it doesn't matter if it's my testimony or yours, if it impacted me.
Amen.
It'll impact somebody else.
We are, and we're connected in the body.
It'll help somebody.
But we are at our hard break. We'll come to this Bible question that I was going to get to after the hard break. So I'll go ahead and read our second trivia question. So question number two for this Tuesday morning. On the road to Emmaus, there was one man named What was his name? What was the man's... So on the road to Emmaus, there was one man named blank. What was this man's name? 270-257-2689 is the number you can call to get this answer in, and we'll be right back here after the break. Amen. I'm glad he left that last part. The enemy thought he had you, but Jesus said you're mine. I love that part. Uh-huh. We are back, and we didn't get a trivia answer. It doesn't look like we got one.
Oh.
Sad face.
That's an easy one. Sad face. Come on, y'all. Come on.
We need to get this one. So I'll go ahead and read it off again. And you can call. So on the road to Emmaus, there was one man named what? What was his name? 270-257-2689. I know that somebody can get it.
Then we can
have two for two. We can be two for two this morning. Amen. So we do have at 8:30, we do have Brother Asher coming on with us. A blessing to have him come on and talk about what God's doing in him, what God's been speaking to him. I love following him on social media and just seeing what he has to share. You know, in the body of Christ, when you have people who you can sharpen each other each day, and it's kind of like on social media, it's what we're doing here, but it's just in written, it's in word form instead of, you know, you're writing the things out instead of speaking it around the table. And I like to just see those, especially those little short sayings that the Lord gives somebody.
Right.
It sticks with you throughout the day.
It does.
And a lot of time it's scripture, you know, scripture shared, just, you know, a verse or two. And it just really, throughout the day, if you hop on there and you see that, it just sticks with you, gets you thinking, gets you meditating on the Lord, thinking about him and different things. So I do enjoy that with several of our guests who have come on. Brother Todd Bailey, for example, you know, he uses that as a ministry. He'll share some quotes and he'll share some testimonies, short little stories of, he calls them God interruptions, when God interrupts his day.
that's a friend. Oh, you didn't see it, did you?
I saw a little coffee cup that said, good morning. Oh, yep.
She's from Louisville, so she's probably at work, and she just texted it to me.
So somebody knows
I can't use the text machine.
We can't do the text machine, but somebody knows the answer. So now we just got to get somebody to call it in.
Yeah, if you can call 270-257-2689, right?
Yep.
Call it in. And
Roger's ready.
Yeah, he'll answer it.
Amen. Well, we can go ahead and move on then to a question. So Miss Jeannie has on a Chosen shirt.
I do.
I have only one thing to do today, and then follow Jesus.
Is
on the back of her shirt. so I'll go ahead and read this question that somebody asked, and hopefully Aaron might want to go back to it once he gets back. He might have wanted to weigh in on it, but we'll go ahead and get to it. So it's just kind of a fun one. So if you all have an opinion on this, just go ahead and weigh in on it. So with shows like Chosen, House of David, etc. gaining such popularity, what would be a character from the Bible you would like to see a show made of? So what would be a story, a character that you would like to see a new show made of?
Wow, that's a big question. You know, I was just saying to somebody the other day, I love what The Chosen has done. I really do, because in my opinion, it's probably one of the very first that really tried to make sure that scripture was being played out. Even those early days that, you know, of Ten Commandments and all that, it was more about the famous actor. But the a lot of the things weren't accurate, and you know, you want to see what would that look like. So I don't know.
And it's hard. I mean, it takes a lot of work to do that. I know that it's taken them a lot of work to, and still it's not to the T, but they work pretty hard to put in context, like, the exact story and have it stick true to, you know, pretty true to what happened in that parable, in that Sermon on the Mount, you know, trying to stick as close as they can. So, but if you guys have something to chime in on that, if you, you know, have been thinking about What Bible story would be a good one to have a show. I think the David one was a good idea because, I mean, there's so much there for a show and to be able to be played out. There's so much that happens. There's so many events within 1st and 2nd Samuel and even the impacts of that afterwards.
And if it's done right, that was a huge life-altering things going on.
And I think you got to talk about, too, a show versus a movie, because a show, I mean, with the gospel is perfect because, I mean, it's consecutive. There's, it can be series of what happens time, because we have the gospels that lay it out that way. And then the same thing with David, it's taken up, quite a bit of scripture going from in like chronological order of like the timeline. And it's easier to put that into a show. Some of the stories would be harder probably to put into a show, like Samson. That would probably be harder to make into a show versus a movie. Like, there is a movie, and I do enjoy actually the Samson movie that I've watched, because I feel like they stayed pretty true to scripture in that movie.
You know who's always puzzled me, and I know they're probably not going to be able to make a movie out of it. I mean, I get it would all, a lot of it would be speculation.
Yeah.
But I think they did really well with the speculation in The Chosen. They made Peter a tough guy. Well, that's good speculation. He cut off a guy's ear, and I would say he was a tough guy.
Yeah.
There's things you can assume.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered about Luke.
Huh.
I mean, he was there. He was in the thick of it. He wrote it. He wrote part of this.
Yeah.
It refers to him as the physician.
Uh-huh.
I would love to know what Luke's thinking, where he was at with everything, how he was a part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the scriptures gives us some.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I would love to see that played out in front of me.
I think if I had to choose, I would choose a show on Acts, Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because, I mean, there's so much there. Mm-hmm. And I think they could really, even bringing in the church, like the way that they did church, and us being able to see
amen.
The way that they gathered, the way that their fellowship, the way that they did communion, like all of these things that, the biblical way that scripture shows us. I feel like, and of course they'd have to take liberty with some aspects of it, just like The Chosen or any other show, but I think that would be really cool. And there has been, I think that there's a show, it's called the Letters of Paul or something. I'm not sure. It's like there's a show where it's like Paul's in prison and he's writing letters to the church, and the church is like, it's decent. But I think if they could expound something like that into more of like a series, like these other shows, I think that would be good. And I think it would draw more people, I would hope, to even read into Acts more.
I'll open a can of worms right here, but I think it would be wonderful to see Acts played out, because I don't think it's anything like people think.
Yeah.
I mean, and once they dive into it, of course, the Spirit of God will get a hold of it and help them do that if they did it with the right heart. But, one of the things that's always kind of wowed me is the fact that, the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
They were in the upper room, not the synagogue.
Yes.
They weren't over at the temple. They were in an upper room.
And that's key.
It is key. And they had the Last Supper. They had communion. They had house-to-house
stuff.
None of it was happening in the church of the day.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was happening in the church of the people.
Amen.
Man.
It would be good.
It would be good, because we're in a society that's just looking for numbers, man. We're just looking for the big church, because the big church says, I'm successful. I'm being used by God. You judge it by how many people's in there.
I think people have asked the writers of The Chosen if they are going through a continuation. after the resurrection into the apostles.
I thought they weren't even going to get to a resurrection. Are they going to get to a resurrection? Uh-huh. Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, good. So the newest ones that came, they're not out, I don't think, like on streaming, but I went and saw, I can't remember if I saw all of them, but I saw at least two of them, of the new set. So, like, it has The Last Supper, mm-hmm. and then...
We got flooded. I was supposed to go.
Really?
I was taking my daughter for her birthday.
It was around the time of the flooding.
And I got flooded in for 13 days.
Yeah.
And we just didn't get to it. And now, of course, it's not there.
Yeah, but it'll show up.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if it actually gets to the resurrection in that one,
right,
though.
Right, right.
It'll probably be the next one.
But, you know, using The Chosen for just an example right here, you know, the way it portrayed, Jesus is kind of lighthearted. He's kind of joking around with them. He messes with them a lot. He's very friendly. He's very loving. He's very all these things. And then it reaches a place where there's a seriousness to it all. And you can see the transition from it's time to do this. We got to go this way.
Yeah.
And I think we're in that. I mean, I do. I think the church in the last, you know, I've been in this for a while. So there was this great excitement through the faith movement, and there was just aliveness. Church was the place to be, you know what I mean? And then it's kind of transitioned to I think we're in a time now where it's people want to do real church. What is real church? And they're looking at the scriptures. They're looking at, you know, how do we do this the right way? We mm-hmm. want to do this right.
Yeah.
And we want to not worry about numbers. We don't want to worry about buildings and stuff like that. We just want to come together and pray and believe God and be used by Him, you know?
Yeah.
And I think there is a seriousness. I think we've transitioned from some of the exciting things in the churches to let's get down to it.
I think that's important because, you know, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Mm-hmm. And, like, again, that is often talked about wrath, but I think even the severity as in the seriousness of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're onto something with that because even, I think a lot of people gave up on the show because of the overwhelming, like, lightheartedness and the goodness that's in the beginning, but if you stick with it, then you see this transition that you're talking
right.
about into the seriousness, into the severity of what is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it? The time, he
yes.
said. It's time.
The time.
See, there's a time for things, right?
Yeah.
I think we're moving into a time. We don't have any more time to play church.
Yeah.
We don't have any more time. It's time for something else.
Yeah.
And in order that we would, you know, see the Spirit of God be able to move through us, to see Him be able to touch a city.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to get real. We can't, you're not going to touch a city with the, isn't this wonderful? We're excited. There's going to be tears. There's going to be groaning. There's going to be intercession. It's going to get messy.
It's not always going to be pretty.
It's going to get messy. Yeah. But that's where, you know, I told you I saw that white knuckle on that young man yesterday. He was, you know, when he comes, it's going to get messy. But you know what, God, when messy with God is perfect order. It is. Because he takes a life and it wrecks. It looks wrecked. But that's because he's putting something in it they didn't have before.
Amen.
Whoo, I'm getting excited right here. I am. You know, I long for the, you know, Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words, but I came to you
power.
With a demonstration of the power of God. That's what I've grown to long for, and that's what I've put on the line. I'm not putting me on the line no more. I put his name on the line. I put him out there. He is able to stand without you.
Yeah.
He's able to stand on his own.
Amen.
The word will do the work. It will.
That might actually speak into something I felt like he was speaking to me one day was, you ever speak something to you and you start trying to like make sense of it?
Well, sure.
Like yourself.
After
like,
I race around and try to find something to write it down
yeah,
on.
Yeah, instead of just like waiting for him to like speak more mm-hmm. into it, like trying to like jump to all these conclusions. It's that battle between the.
I got it now.
Well, like I just start trying to go down these rabbit holes. Like he spoke something like you, I didn't create you. I don't know if that's how he worded it, but basically you're not supposed to be on the front line is what he said. And to me, I'm thinking like, well, I'm a worshiper. Worshippers are meant to be on the front line. Lord, are you saying I'm not supposed to be a worshiper? You know, like I start going on these rabbit trails.
You didn't hold up for the rest of it, did you?
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of, and I tend to do that. I tend to squirm and then get out of position of where he's speaking to me. But I feel like what you're saying might be speaking into that of like me, Hannah, is not supposed to be. It's him. You were talking about putting his name on the line. It's he who is within us. He who is in me is greater than he that is in the world, not anything in myself. So I think he was speaking that to me, like me without him is going to get destroyed if I try to go anywhere. You know what I mean? If I try to put me out there, if I try to put my understanding out there, my ability, anything, but when he is on the forefront, that is when the power, that's when the order is right. That's when the glory is falling. That's, yeah.
We can lose sight of that even in the call. He's called us to something, and we step up into it, and there's an anointing for that call, and you see it, and you experience what that brings. We can't forget that without him, we are nothing.
Yeah.
If we forget, sometimes we forget and build ministries around who we are, who we think we're called to be, and we're losing it. We're losing sight.
I don't want a Saul ministry. I want a David.
Amen.
But not all David.
Not all David's stuff. Now we don't want his stuff.
The man after God's own heart.
Yeah, that guy.
We want the spirit, not the flesh of David.
Yeah, he was a wreck, that's for sure. But, you know, even that, so many times people just use David to excuse behavior. And
yeah, that's not okay.
You should use David. If you're going to use David, use the one that was after his heart. He was after God's heart. So I would say to that person, are you after his heart?
Gosh, you know, like when you're, well, like parents of multiple kids, like when their kids are always blaming the other one for everything and trying to, like, I bet God gets so tired of hearing people say, well, what about him?
Yeah. What did he say?
What about David? What about?
You follow me, he said.
Yeah, and even when they were saying that about John, when the disciples were like, he had mentioned something about John's days being long,
right?
Longer or something. He said, well, what's that to you? Like, what's it to?
He said, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, if I want him to stay right here till I come back, what's that to you?
Yeah.
You follow me. Man, those are great words for a personal relationship that doesn't look around. Don't look around. It's you and him, and that's it.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your
lane.
That's
what he said.
Get back over here. That's right. I can almost hear the Lord saying that.
Yeah.
Get back over here.
Yeah. I mean, really, what happens when we're on a road and we're getting into another lane we're not supposed to be in? Crash.
Yeah, exactly.
Crash.
Exactly. So it's good. You know, we got plenty to, you know, it's always going to be exciting. You know, I was talking to Tim this morning when we came in, and he said, how you doing? I said, I'm better than most. Because I always say that because I know my position I've taken with him.
Yeah.
In spite of the things that I face today. It doesn't matter what news. You don't know what's going to happen today. Well, no, I don't. But whatever happens will never touch what he's done.
Amen.
It won't. Because I'm not going to let it. Now, is it going to, you know, I may hurt. I may struggle. I may do the wrong thing. I may, all these things are going to play out in my life just like anybody else's, but I'm not leaving this place of what he has done. I'm not.
That's part of hiding in the shadow of.
It's a safe place.
the wings, mm-hmm. under the wings mm-hmm. of the Almighty.
So, you know, you'll always pull yourself back out when you're looking to what he said and did.
Amen.
You'll always pull out.
Amen. So, amen. That's how we endure. That's how Paul endured.
Right.
Everything. That's how Stephen sat there, prayed for the ones stoning him.
Exactly. There's no way.
I think back to him a lot. I'm like, okay, Lord, if he went through that with that attitude, mm-hmm. then I can get through this with.
And you know, he could see them. Did you ever know that what you were about to say is going to cause a real problem?
Oh yeah.
Now he saw on them, they're going to kill me. He saw it. I know he did. And yet he delivered it.
Yeah.
Without apology. There it is. If you ever stood up in front of people, or one person, and realized that what you're about to say, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
But you knew you had to say it. And I think that's where Stephen was. He had to bring this message. He had to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean by had to. It was in him to do.
Shut up in his bones.
Mm-hmm. Can't keep this one down, can't.
Yeah.
And he gave it knowing they're going to kill me for this. And then went to, I think all this played out before he ever got stoned. And yet he knew, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. I mean, he reached so many places in that moment.
Yeah. Amen. I think about that often.
I do too. I do too. I pray I have that kind of courage.
Yes.
When I'm faced with anything hard, anything, I want that kind of courage. Mm-hmm.
And why is it that we never want to, in the moment, when we're in those moments, we never want to, well, I'll say me, I won't include everybody else, but it's like I struggle to think about these things in the moment of adversity or those times. Mm-hmm. I struggle to think back to Stephen or, you know, the word, not the word, but like stories in the word. Like I can think back to scripture that's in me, but some of these stories don't always come to me in those times. But whenever I will fix my eyes on the Lord, that's mm-hmm. when the things will start to come.
Right.
That's the thing, because if we fix our eyes on him, we open our ear to him, he will bring up what is necessary. He'll bring up the word that we need
exactly.
in that time.
Exactly. And that's, I think all the focus in that moment is knowing that I've had it without yeah. him, without him. And he said, I'm going to tell you what to say. Don't worry, I got
yeah.
you. I'm going to tell you what to say. And you know, you really have to rely on that. But you, to say that, oh, no problem, he's going to tell me what to say, you're in a bad place, okay? You know, because I think the struggle is there because of the dependency.
Mm. And he wants us to depend.
Exactly. If everything's just an old shoe for you, I'm speaking to that. You'd stir up, you know. What blessed are those who have never seen and yet believe.
Yeah.
You know, there's a struggle in that. There's a decision that has to be made in the midst of whatever you're going through. And it's by design. It's called faith.
Amen.
Now we're back to faith.
We're back to we've made the full circle.
We made
now,
the circle.
And we're even 2 minutes from break.
I love being in here, girl. I love being with you.
I know
it's
it.
So
it's a
cool.
blessing. I love it.
I'm gonna exit because I'm gonna go grab up Karen and see if I can help
yes.
her.
Yes.
And see if we can't do a broadcast.
Is she good?
Yeah, I think so. It's just other than the ride.
Okay.
But awesome. I love being on
we
here.
We do miss Karen.
Yes, we
though.
Do. She'll come firing away next week.
Come firing away. And then you're not going to be with us next week.
I won't be here this next week.
But so. We will still. So we're having like individual
yeah,
time
yeah.
with each.
Yeah, see, God's doing that because sometimes I don't let her talk.
I don't know. I feel like you both get quite a bit in there. So that's good. Well, thank you again for coming in, Miss Jeannie, always being here with us on Tuesdays. And
it's been a great journey.
It's a good word.
It really
good
is a great
today.
Journey. I love feeding off of you and
me too.
See where the Lord takes us and
iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry. Or I don't really have to worry about any day, but definitely not Tuesdays because we're never going to have anything. We're not going to be short of what we need to say because it's just that flow, that Holy Ghost flow. But really, that's most days, because the Lord, he's just in it.
Yes,
if we will just
I hear it. I listen
him,
to y'all.
If we'll just let him speak, then he'll speak. If we just move out of the way. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I think our guest is calling in
now. I think so, too.
And we will get a quick break in. If we could get a quick break, Roger, and then we'll come back just right after this break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.
Woo.
All right, we are back here. I don't think we ever got a second trivia answer, but that's okay. We'll make it up the rest of this week. And we're back here now. We have our guest on the phone with us, Brother Asher. Asher Bach on with us. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. And I'm excited to see what the morning has in store, what the Lord has in store for us. So how are you this morning, Asher? Awesome. I'm doing good. Blessed and highly favored. Miss Jeannie was in here with me earlier. She had to step out for the rest of the morning, but we were talking about how no matter what our circumstances, even if we don't feel good, you know, we always say we're doing good, but even if we don't feel like we're doing good, he is good. So he determines whether we are good or not.
Amen.
Not our circumstance.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we just are going to get right into it here. So how have things been? How's the family? How's the ministry going that the Lord has you in? And kind of give us a little update of where you're at right now. And then maybe we can get into pretty soon. I would like to get into the biblical order of the family. You had posted something about that. And maybe kind of get into what the Lord is speaking on that as well. So what's the update of where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I appreciate you guys having me back. I think it's been a little over a year.
Yes, I
can't
believe it.
I was with you all last. Yeah, time flies. But, you know, I'm doing well. I'm grateful. I think in this season, I'm learning a whole lot about myself, a whole lot about pushing through. When, you know, your faith is tested and, you know, my family is doing well. Ask all of anybody listening, you all there at the radio station, to keep us in your prayers. We always need anybody's prayer. But the ministry is doing well. You know, I'm refocusing my attention on the simplicity of every step you take, everywhere you go, there's a mission field. And, you know, I'm being very honest right now, you know, as my ministry grew and I started going more international and, you know, just that fast pace on planes, in hotels, preaching, going to the next destination, I did find myself kind of missing and sort of forgetting that day-to-day evangelism everywhere I was.
Yeah.
And that's something this year I've really tried to refocus is, you know, whether I'm in the gym, whether I'm in the grocery store, or wherever it is. And I want to encourage anybody listening that feels like you're called to preach or you're just a believer, and all of us have received the Great Commission. You know, start where you are. And that's how we win this world for Jesus.
Amen.
You know, every place that you have a place of influence. And, you know, I know that kind of a mainstream the mainstream church view, as people look at, like, you know, the big preachers and blah, blah, blah. It's like, man, that's where I got to get. But Jesus just wants you to get right where he wants you to get and to start where you are. The Bible says that if you're faithful over a little, he'll make you a ruler over much. So, yeah, everything is well. Just ask for your all's prayers and continued prayers. That's what's been going on.
Amen. I love that. Amen. Because I think that's what the Lord is really speaking to his whole church right now. I've heard over and over just from different people, even guests here on the radio, different ones that evangelize or minister. It seems like the Lord is like reducing things right now. Like,
wow.
Like, I don't know. That word is just what I'm thinking of, but if it could sum it up, reducing so that our vision can be on the things that matter. Because
Yes. As
we go to new heights with him, as we go with him, not even in this world, but just spiritually new heights, and to get the perspective that he wants us to have, we can't have all the noise. We can't have all the extra things that are distracting us,
mm-hmm.
pulling us away from what he wants us to focus on, which is sometimes just the one. You know, he leaves the 99 for the one. And so I love that, because I think that's happened in the entire body of Christ, really. That's been like the agenda of the enemy, the tactic of the enemy, is to get us so focused on everything else and miss what God is trying to focus us in on, to reduce our lives down to the basic parts that he wants us to focus on, which, like you said, is witnessing to those that he's put around us. In our community, in our home. That's a big thing that we've been hearing a lot, and we'll get to the family here in a little bit, but missing the mission field that's literally right in front of our eyes, in our family, in our community. And not to say that he won't use us in the overseas places and in the farther regions, but, you know, I don't know. I think in several people that I've talked to in the body of Christ, and even in my own heart, I've thought about this. It's like, how can we go if we're not reaching the ones that are in front of us too?
No, absolutely. That's so well said. And if I can just say, you know, Jesus, he sent his disciples out two by two. And this was not, he didn't do that after he was resurrected, but this was before. And what was he doing? In a sense, they were training, right? Mm-hmm. He's sending them out two by two, and wherever they went, they were spreading, you know, the news of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so I think that, you know, if God is going to use you to do, you know, things of greater measure, if you want to look at it that way, you have to start where you are, because that's your, in a sense, it's your training field. Mm-hmm. That was my heart for years before I ever stepped on a platform to preach. Is I was just, man, I loved spreading the gospel because I knew what he had done for me. And I think it comes from that, you know, that loving relationship you have with him, that's the overflow. How could you not tell people about the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life? And the last thing, I mean, I would say on this topic would be, some people would say, but Asher, I don't know a ton of scripture. Tell your testimony, because Amen. I have seen more people in my life from a five-minute testimony of mine reach for Jesus than me preaching an hour-long, you know, message. So, yeah, just, you know, I just want to encourage people. I really feel that on my heart, just to step out and stay and start where you are.
You know, that's so key also. About, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And when thinking about sharing your testimony versus teaching, I think part of that is because not that the truth will set anyone free, whether it's an unbeliever or, you know, a believer needing to be set free from something in our mind. But I think we've lost like the order of that the scriptures and the training in the scriptures are for equipping of the saints. And a lot of time we might try to get it backwards sometimes, of like trying to preach and teach things that unbelievers don't understand yet, when we could start with our testimony, because that's what, like, I think that's more of the order of what the gospel's laying out for us. Is that's what we saw people do. I mean, the woman at the well, all of these, the disciples, they went and just told their testimony. And then once they came in, they started to follow Jesus and listening to his teachings and get equipped that way. But sometimes maybe we try to get it backwards a little bit.
Come on. That's so good. I love it.
So, amen. I love that. I love that. I think what you're saying is so spot on. And I love to hear different ministers, even that we haven't talked to for over a year, speaking the same things that the Spirit, just that confirmation of what the Spirit is speaking to his church, what Jesus is speaking to the church. And so one of the big things, and part of that reducing down to what he wants us to focus on, is the biblical order of the family. So why don't you speak into that a little bit, just what the Lord has shown you. And again, this is just something that I saw you share one day on social media, which, by the way, is also a great way, I feel like, to evangelize and share your testimony, because that's where people are at these days. I mean, social media is so, it's like a huge net, I think. And even with believers, it's a great way to encourage one another. But anyways, I saw that you had posted on that. So I wanted you to speak into that a little bit.
Absolutely. So by no means am I an expert on this. And definitely my wife and I have had our own issues in our marriage. And God's even taken us through a time right now of both of us deeply reflecting. I love when you said that word reduce. You know, reducing things in our lives that would hinder our relationship with Him. Because in the family, if the husband and the wife are not strong in the Lord, both of them individually and then both of them together, you will see the home start to really be, you know, possibly infected with great secularism. And, you know, the children being introduced to, if there are children in the home, introduced to all kinds of craziness. But the first thing I would say that I posted on this the other day as well, that I see God doing in marriages and also in just the life of the believer is right now there's cicadas out everywhere. It's like the year of the cicada.
Yeah.
And I think it's like every 13 to 17 years or whatever, they come out. And the other night I was on my deck late praying, and I started staring at one of the cicadas that had come out of the shell. I think they call it the exoskeleton. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there looking at it, and it's hanging on. It's like this, the shell is dead, and it's hanging onto the shell as it starts to, its wings are folding out. And, you know, it's getting its strength. And God said to me, Asher, do you see how it's hanging on to the shell? And I'm just like, yes, Lord. He's like, let go of dead things.
Mm.
And that's one of the words this, you know, for the rest of the year that I'm going to be speaking is in marriages, there's so much offense that's being held on to. There's so much of the past being held on to. There's so much of what you learned, maybe, God bless our parents, but what we learned that was negative from our parents that we brought into the marriage, let go of dead things. Let go of those empty things. There's nothing there anymore. And spread your wings and fly. So, you know, when it comes to the biblical order of marriage, we have seen, and this has happened for a long time, but it's the most I have personally ever seen. I'm going to turn 40 in September, so in my lifetime, it's the most I've ever seen it. There's an attack on specifically the Christian home, and that starts with the attack on the man.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a Bible believer, so if anybody listening gets upset about this, I can't help that. I have to go by what the Word says. And, you know, there is a great illustration online if you look up biblical order of the family, and it's this picture of like Jesus hovering over the man with his arms. It's a covering, and it'll say Jesus, and it says husband, and then next to husband it says protects family, leads family. And then he has the husband, his arms over top of the woman, like covering her, and it says wife, nurtures, teaches. And then she has her arms over the children. And it says, children, they love their parents, and they honor their parents. So if you look in Scripture, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but he's the author of order. And if anybody argues this, I would argue back, but God is obsessed with order. You even look mm-hmm. at when he told Moses, when you build the tabernacle, you build it exactly by the pattern and order that I show you. And God is even saying right now to Christian homes, wake up, there's an attack on your family, and you need to get in order. Now, I am a big believer of, you know, of course, in the sense of equality when it comes to, you know, all the things like women being able to vote and women being able to work and all those things. You know, we don't live in a medieval time anymore, but I do believe that the man is to lead his home, and the Bible also says that the husband is the head of the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible talks about Christ is the head of the church. And if we as believers see that as him being our head, That means that the way I've always seen it is, that means he is our eyes, he is our ears, he is the one that through us speaks through us, so he's our mouth. And I believe the role of the husband is to, as he has a relationship with Christ, he is to reflect that relationship to his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, simultaneously, the wife is to have her own relationship with God, but she is to, in a healthy way, this is in some homes very out of order, but in a healthy way, she is to submit to her husband. We live in a day and age where women are being really, really targeted as well, and it seems like for some women it's a really good thing, and they're being taught you don't need a man. You can do exactly what a man can do. You can climb the ladder in your career. You lead the home. And while, yes, a woman is very capable of leading in the workplace and all of those things, she is to desire her husband, and her husband is to desire her, but they, as a married couple, should want the order that Christ wants. Mm-hmm. And so you see that really backward in our society now. Some of that is because men have just forfeited their leadership responsibility, and or some of it is that, unfortunately, even some Christian women have been, you know, influenced to say, no, I'm going to lead this home.
Yeah.
And while both the husband and the wife are leaders, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean that she's, you know, super fragile and all that. It just is she's the weaker vessel. But it says that God has created them, though, as equal partners in the grace of life.
Wow.
So while the husband is her head, and while he is to lead and protect, they also are equal partners. It's not that she walks behind the man. They walk side by side. But as she sees the husband serving Christ, and she sees him protecting, she sees him in every way he's able to provide and lead, she is to honor him, she is to respect him, and she is to submit to him. And I know that word submit is like so, like a lot of people hear it and think, oh no, submission's a bad thing. Submission simply means that you come up under the leadership, the rule of another. And so that is really under attack. And we can see this, Hannah, from the beginning of time when the serpent went to Eve after God had told Adam. By the way, some people miss this. God gave the instructions to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Of every tree and seed-bearing plant in this garden, you may eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not eat it, because the day that you do, you will die. So Adam's responsibility was then to take and share with his wife what the Lord said. Well, when the serpent came and, told Eve, when she's looking at the fruit that's on the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and he says, did God really say that you can't eat of this tree? So he's proposing a question to confuse her. And we see something interesting where Eve adds something to what God said. She says, yes, he says that we can't eat of it nor touch it. But God never said, don't touch it. So what I see in that is the serpent had got her so confused that she starts trying to add things to talk herself out of partaking of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the serpent goes on and on and pretty much tells her, no, he doesn't want you to eat of this because he knows the day that you do, you're going to become just like him. And so she is deceived. But the reality is Adam sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you read the scriptures, it says, and her husband Adam was with her. So I believe that Adam was kind of in the background watching, and he's like, this isn't right. I need to stop this. But instead, he took, and I'm not upset with Eve. I think it's funny when you hear people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give a piece of my mind to Eve and Adam. And I'm like,
Yeah. Really?
Like, how many times have you sinned? Like, so, and I have I sinned? So Adam should have, you know, he should have stopped that because Adam, you know, the man, he is to lead. And I think there are some marriages that I see, and it gives me a lot of hope, where I do see that biblical order in place. And I see the children, that, and let's talk about children. I have a real heart for children and young adults because, and I know that life gets busy, and I know that, the culture is changing, but what I'm seeing is a lot of parents letting an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet raise their children.
Raise the kids, yeah.
And last night I was at the gym working out with my buddy. We did some training, and we were walking on the track up top, and we looked down over at everybody in the gym, and I said, brother, count how many people are looking at their phone right now. And there was like probably 15 people. There was 11 people out of 15 just looking at their phone.
Wow.
And nowadays, that's, you know, what's raising the kid from the time they're 12 years old, they get their first phone. Why a 12-year-old needs a phone, I don't know. But, you know, I want to encourage if whatever parents are listening to this, or whoever would hear this, or you're planning on having children, tablets, phones, iPads, those are necessary for times, you know, where you have something to do, you want to keep them busy. But please instill in your children, eye contact, quality time, communication. The Bible tells us as parents to raise up our children in the ways of the Lord, mm-hmm. that when they're older, they will not depart from it. And so I have a real heart for this generation because things are so backwards now. You know, you have the biblical order in the family is all scrambled up. You have children being raised by, you know, electronics. And it really does. It breaks my heart. You know, and I didn't do a perfect job with me and my wife's, daughter. I know that there were days that I spent like whole summers with her, and I just was like, man, I've kind of run out of ideas, and I let her sit in front of the TV for too long. But, when you see this biblical order in place, though, you will genuinely see the children that love the parents, honor them, and respect them.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I'm going to be honest, Anna, I actually kind of see it going like this. Children lead, then the wife, then the husband.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm seeing a lot.
That is.
And I do want to tell any women that may be listening or hear this, that if you have a husband that is not serving God, well, God will give you a grace to lead because God will use whoever he wants to lead. And God will establish whoever he wants to. But I believe it's by your example to him that will win him for Christ. And then that order can come into place. And I know that when you do things under the order of God in love, that you will see your home be so tremendously blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You will have such peace. The communication will be wonderful. That was another thing that the enemy was after in the garden. Number one, he was after communication.
Yeah.
First thing that you see right after they partake of it, they realize they were naked. The glory of God was actually their covering. So when they partook of it, the glory of God left, and they realized they're naked. And God comes to do what he normally did, walk in the cool of the day with Adam and speak with him, but Adam is not where he usually would be, and he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm over here. I hid because I'm naked. We hid because we're naked. And God says, who told you that? So, you know, the enemy has always been after communication. And so I just, you know, Hannah, I really want to pray. I don't know if we can pray before the end of this time together.
Yeah, let's pray because I think that this is just a huge issue right now in our culture. But even in the church, it's become a really huge issue. And so, you know, let's pray and just believe God for this restoration of this order.
Absolutely. So Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you right now for first, if this makes sense, Lord, gentle balance.
Yes.
That God, as people establish what you have purposed, that both of them would have an understanding, the husband towards the wife, as he is instructed to love his wife as Christ loved the church, giving himself for her in everything, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. And Father, I pray that wives could see, as their husbands lead in this way, being sacrificial, that they would give honor and respect to their husbands. And God, that as those, that husband and that wife are close, that the children then would see that, God, and replicate that through the generations. Father, we just pray over homes where the enemy is attacking and the enemy is wreaking havoc, where the enemy is causing divorce, the enemy is causing separation. Father, we just rebuke it.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask for restoration. Have your way, God. May forgiveness and great grace be shown towards one another, God. And I just pray over the children, the young adults of this generation, God. May there be a great awakening in their life. May you just do something incredible as you pour your spirit out upon all flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. What a powerful prayer. We're in agreement for that to happen. And just thanks for coming on with us. We're out of time, unfortunately. We might need to have longer time.
Don't let it go too long.
No. We might need to do an hour long next time because this was just so good. And
Amen.
But we're out of time. So have a blessed day. Thank you so much. And we'll be praying for you guys as well.
Thank you. Please do. Appreciate you, Hannah.
Thank you. And then you can find him on Facebook, Asher Bach, and you can find any of his other information there. So we love you guys. We're out of time this morning, and we will see you back here tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.